Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
All the punks worth their weight in glorious black and white.
Greetings and happy Friday to everyone out there in Suburbs Pod Land. This is Patrick Foster coming at you from the Suburbs Pod HQ with another installment of a new segment we just kicked off last week called What Came First, where we take just a few minutes of your day to examine the first release on iconic record labels. And I want to thank everybody who's given me feedback on the previous episodes and enjoyed them. And we'll try to do more of these when we can and make a nice little bite-sized history lesson, as I like to say. So today, to finish out this week, we're going to talk about the first release ever on Touch and Go Records. Touch and Go, classic Midwestern label known for its roots in the early hardcore scene and one that would later evolve into one of America's most influential indie labels in the 80s and 90s. I mean, to me, I think of it right up there with SST and Homestead during that first formative period of the mid 80s to the early 90s. It was right up there and then continued to be very, very strong. I was looking on the Discogs site a little earlier, and I see that they actually have released a record this year, Touch and Go 3, number 375 LP by Boys vs. Girls. So as far as I understand, they're still a going concern, maybe not as active as they once were in their prime. And in that prime, they released records by Big Black, The Butthole Surfers, The Jesus Lizard, The Digits, Die Kreuzen, Killdozer, Scratch Acid, Urge Overkill, Tar, and many, many others. So classic indie label. I think of our friend Vasson when I think of this label because he likes to play a lot of those records on his excellent Friday evening show, My Noise, on Suburbs Radio, folks. Did I mention Suburbs Radio? You should go check it out. Just go to suburbsradio.com and you can find it there. Okay, so I want to point out a couple of other things here that I came across doing some research. In 2006, Touch and Go celebrated its 25th anniversary. To commemorate this occasion, the label held a 3-day block party event at Chicago's Hideout, September 8th to 10th. Several seminal bands, including Big Black, Scratch Acid, The Digits, Killdozer, Negative Approach, and Manor Astro Man reunited and performed at the Chicago event. That's really cool. I never knew that. And I don't know if anybody out there in Suburbs Podland went to that any of those shows, but gosh, I'd love to hear about it. I think that's so cool. And the other thing I want to tell you, too, is that key names to remember about the founding of Touch and Go and the running of Touch and Go are Tesco V, Dave Stimson, Corey, and Lisa Rusk. Those are key players in the story of Touch and Go. And Touch and Go started out as a fanzine in 1979 in East Lansing, Michigan, as Touch and Go Magazine. It was printed and written by Tesco V and Dave Stimson. And I'll tell you, I have two really cherished items in my collection relating to Touch and Go. And one of them I'm holding in my hands here. I know this makes for great audio. Touch and Go, the complete hardcore punk scene, 1979 to 1983, all put together. Every single issue of the fanzine typed out on the old typewriter with black and white printing, Xeroxing. And it's really fun to look through and read some of the... It's really fun to look through and read some of the album reviews and some of the ads and... let's see, this book came out in 2010, and I'll just read really quick the on the inside gatefold here of the book, Flyleaf, I guess is what you call it, right? Touch and Go fanzine was the brainchild of Tesco V and Dave Stimson, and was launched in Lansing, Michigan in 1979. Major fanatics of the new punk happenings in the late 70s, Tesco and Stimson set out to chronicle, lambast, ridicule, and heap praise on all they arbitrarily loved or hated in the music communities in the U.S. and abroad. So it started out as a fanzine, and it slowly evolved into a record label. By 1981, they had met some people in a band from Maumee, Ohio. And although, in general, they're often connected to the Chicago or Detroit music scenes, I guess, when you think about it. But the band was the Necros. And the leader of the Necros was Barry Hensler. And he had struck up a friendship with Stimson and Tesco V when he sent his fanzine to Touch and Go. And that's something you would often do back in the days of fanzines, right? You'd mail yours out to all the other fanzines. Number one, because you wanted to share what you'd done, and also because you hoped to get theirs in return. And it was great to get fanzines from the West Coast and other parts of the country back then. So what happened was Barry Hensler got to know Stimson and Tesco V, and they found out about his band, and they became fans of the Necros. And see, Andy Wendler and Todd Swallow were on drums. And then Corey Russ came in to join as the bass player. Now, the interesting thing about this is that Corey Rusk would go on to start working at Touch and Go and eventually take the label over with his wife Lisa when Tesco V left the Midwest to live in Washington, D.C. So they put out the first record, a self-titled four-song, 7-inch EP, which was actually recorded prior to Rusk joining the band. So they may have had this stuff in the can or recorded it before him. And it came out on Touch and Go. And it was the very first release, June 15th, 1981, four songs, a 7-inch record, of course, featured Barry Hensler on vocals. Andy Wendler played guitar and bass on three of the four tracks, and Todd Swallow played drums, whereas Jeff Lake, an early bass player, played bass on one song, the second track, Police Brutality. I'm telling you, folks, this is a four-song record, and it clocks in at about 4 minutes. So only one song is longer than a minute 30, and that's the epic 1 minute and 35 second Police Brutality. So we're going to get a little taste of all of this. I think we got time to have a few 30 second samples of everything to let you folks know how it sounds. So why don't we grab this this record. Let's get the player set right here. Okay, and why don't we drop the needle on track one, Sex Drive. Okay, there's a little bit of Sex Drive, and I think you can hear the influences of early hardcore, Black Flag especially, on there. Maybe a little bit of, I don't know, the Teen Idols, possibly. You know, a lot of early punk scenes, you know, had sounds that were very similar to this. And obviously, it's a pretty, and the artwork is cool. Very classic red and black cover with the band's name just spelled out on the front, Necros, and on the back, the tracks and the players. And it's interesting that Touch and Go on the back, Touch and Go Records, is spelled R-E-K-O-R-D-S. And listing a P.O. box out of Lansing, Michigan. And there's a little insert in there with the guys looking very, very young. Very, very young. But why don't we cue up a little bit of the second track, Police Brutality, featuring, as I said, that bass player, Jeff Lake. Okay, intense stuff right there. Very intense. I think, you know, maybe if they had recorded that again, they might have wanted to move the microphone a little bit away from the drums, but it really came crashing in there. It sounds like a very lo-fi, probably four-track recording, and did a good job of capturing the power of what they were going for. And I'll tell you, one thing that's very, very interesting about this record, too, is that it is highly, highly collectible. And One of the reasons is that, of course, it was TGR001, the first record ever issued on the really influential Touch and Go records label. Number two, they only made 100 copies of this record. So I'm sure, knowing something about the fanzine world, you know, times were tight, and probably making 100 copies was cheaper in 1981 than going ahead and pressing 500 or 1,000. And, you know, who knows if they knew they would sell any of these. So, therefore, it's made the Necro's record Sex Drive. I mean, Sex Drive's the first track. I don't think it officially has a name, but that's kind of what it's become known by. And this is, you know, pretty amazing, folks. The last copy that was sold, and I'm checking here on the Discogs seller list. The last copy that was sold, there was a copy in what was listed as poor condition that sold for $650 back in February of this year. Prior to that, you got to go all the way back to 2018. And the last time a copy changed hands, that went for $3,800. $3,800. And then you got to go another 4 years back, and one was sold on Discogs for $2,875. And that's about the median price for these records. It averages about $2,400 per copy when they do change hands, but they don't change hands very often. It obviously is a pretty legendary piece of wax, right? There's 948 people that want to get a copy of this record. Unfortunately, there's only 100 in existence, if there are still 100 in existence. So we don't know that for sure. But why don't we flip it over, and we're going to go to B1 and hear Better Never Than Late by the Necros. Whew, okay. Better never than late. So if you ain't going to show up on time, forget it. I even want you at practice or whatever it is they're yelling about. But that's pretty cool. I like the little descending bass line that starts that song off. Very cool. And there's one more track on this. It's called Cast System. And we will save that for the play out for you folks today. But I wanted to get those tracks in there and show you what was the very first release on Touch and Go Records. What came first, folks? If somebody stops you on the street or down at the local coffee bar when you're getting a cup of coffee, or even up at 7-Eleven when you're picking up a cup of coffee, you can tell them, hey, first record on Touch and Go, TGR001. I know what it is, Sex Drive by the Necros. And I hope it is the Necros. That's what I call them. If it's the Necros, I really sound like an idiot. But that's what me and my friends always call them. And I do want to clarify something for you folks. I don't have a copy of this record, so I'm not actually playing it. I'm playing it off of Bandcamp, where it's available for everybody to listen to. You can pick it up, digital copy, for $3. That's a good value, because that's less than a dollar per track. The only other tidbit I had, I mentioned I had two very prized possessions in my collection. Nothing near as cool as the first record ever issued on Touch and Go. But I do have a copy on Touch and Go Records of Killdozer's classic 12-point buck. This is Touch and Go LP number 48. But what's cool about it, on the front, it's written, autographed, to Patrick, Killdozer's number one fan, signed Butch Vig. So on the old show, we had the chance to interview him, noted producer. You may have heard of some of the other records he produced, but for me, it was a real thrill to meet the guy who produced some of the Killdozer records and hear some of those stories. So it was really nice of Butch to autograph my copy of 12-point buck. Now a prized possession in my collection, folks, along with my Touch and Go complete fanzine book. All right, well, that's about it. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a great weekend. As I mentioned, Jim and I will be back. Going to be doing some recording this weekend. We're going to bring you March new music, and maybe a couple other things for next week. So I hope you will tune in then, and I hope one and all have a good weekend, and everything goes well and promising and prosperous for you until that time. If you have anything you want to say about Touch and Go Records, be happy to listen to you and put together some responses to this, you know, anything related to it, or if you have a suggestion for what would be a good episode of What Came First, if you have a label that you think would make an interesting one, let me know. And you can do that by sending an email to rock@suburbspod.com or reach out to us anywhere on the socials at Suburbs Pod. I believe that's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And you know what, folks? I want to pull something out of the closet here that we haven't heard in quite a while. I'm going to dig way deep back in the archives here, back amongst the cassette tapes and compact discs that are all over the studio. If I can find it. Here we go. Okay. And I'm going to stick this in the podcast machine and play it for you right now.
If you're glad or sad or high, call the Suburban Party Line.
Now, how good was that? It's a great song. Unfortunately, I don't know the phone number. So I know it's 612-something-something 1984. I'm not sure of the middle three digits, but it's a great jingle regardless. It's wonderful to hear that. Sad, glad, or high, call up the Suburban Party Line. Thank you to lovely and talented Mike Wagner for putting that together with one of his talented musician friends. All right, folks, that's it. It's been Patrick Foster. This is Rockin' the Suburbs, and I will talk to you guys next week. And we will play out with the Necros doing Caste System. Bite-sized history lessons.